السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. الحمد للہ وحدہ والصلاة والسلام علی من لا نبی بعدہ. الحمد للہ وحدہ والصلاة والسلام علی من لا نبی بعدہ. ونشهد ان لا الہ الا اللہ وحدہ لا شریک لہ. ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ومن آياته أن خلق لكم من أنفسكم أزواجا لتسكنوا إليها وجعل بينكم مودة ورحمة إن في ذلك لآيات لقوم يتفكرون. صدق الله العظيم. علماء کرام, most respected brothers, over the past 2-3 weeks we have been discussing some fazail and virtues of Hajj. مکہ مکرمہ مدینہ طیبہ. Today we have had two nikahs, and that is the beauty of Islam, that it discusses every aspect of a person's life. We have not been given guidance with regards to just how to perform our salats and how to keep our fast in the month of Ramadan and how to give zakat or perform Hajj. These are the pillars of Islam, and without these pillars the building of Islam cannot stand. So there cannot be a person who claims that he is a Muslim and these pillars of Islam are missing in his life. Therefore, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam laid so much emphasis on the very fact on salat itself, that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he himself said, "Man taraka salata muta'ammidan faqad kafar." The person who forgoes his salat intentionally, deliberately, there was no reason for missing out his salat, then he has committed kufr. Now that was the literal meaning. Then, as I have explained before also, that we must be grateful to the fuqaha and the jurists, that they went into the depths of these ahadith sharifa, and thereafter they gave us some explanation. And that is where the differences of opinion came. And some imams said that what it means that they have committed an act of the kuffar, but in reality they are still Muslims as long as they consider it as farz. And Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullah and others, they said no, they have indeed committed kuffar, why should we take any other meaning? So there's great emphasis on these pillars of Islam. Without that a person cannot be a Muslim. However, Islam does not only discuss these pillars. What about the branches of the tree? What about the fruits of the tree? So Islam discusses everything, whether it is the root of the tree, whether it is the trunk of the tree, or whether it is the branches of the tree, or whether it is the fruits of the tree. Everything is discussed. Shariat gives us guidelines with regards to our eating, our drinking, our clothing, with regards to our marriages, conducting our businesses. Everything Shariat gives us guidelines. So we should not think that this is something outside Islam. That is, other faiths, other religions, many of them, they have absolutely no idea what should the person do when it comes to nikah and all the other details. Islam tells us about nikah, about talaq and everything else. So with regards to this nikah, since it is something that is a very important thing in the life of every Muslim, especially after he has matured, he has become of age, and when the desires are increasing in his heart after that to associate with the opposite sex, then at that time Shariat gives us guidelines. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself, he addressed the assembly of youth, all those who are young, fit and healthy. Ya ma'ashara shabab man istata'a ilaykum al-ba'atha falyatazawwaj. If they have the ability to marry, he said they must marry, they must make nikah, because it will cause the lowering of the gaze and it will protect the person from engaging in zina. I'm just giving you the meaning. So So the question which I have answered before also, but there is a new audience every time that there is a nikah, that the question always arises that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that must make nikah, thereafter it will be a protection for the person. It will cause him a lowering of his gazes from haram. He will not cast lustful glances, and he will not engage in adultery, or he will not engage in zina. But then we find so many people who are married and yet they are engaging in zina, and casting of lustful glances is like a pastime. And yet Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that this is what will happen if you make nikah. So I've explained that with every medication they also talk about the diet that goes with it. They give you the medication and they say there is cure in this medication. Inshallah, if the person takes this medication 3 times a day, he will get cure. But then they say that there's a diet, very strict diet that you have to abide by. You cannot be taking on the one hand some medication for sugar diabetes and on the other hand eat 1 kilogram of halwa. And just because it's a walima or a nikah occasion, so the person says we must make the best of the biryani and the zarda, and then say the medication is not helping. So like that, this nikah, the effect of the nikah should have been that, and it is that. But when the person is intermingling freely, he is associating with the opposite sex as if there's nothing wrong with it, he's casting lustful glances in the streets when he's walking and everywhere else, and he's watching all the filth on the television screen and on the porn sites, so then do you blame this institution of nikah for that? Because if this person was a true Muslim, being a human person, then there will be this desire, there will be some passion. But at the same time, now Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala made a way out for this person, that we are not like the Christians or some other faiths in which it was said that you to be pious and righteous, you must not marry. That to be pious and righteous, then you must not make nikah, you must not marry. So we know what happened to all those monks and nuns and all those who did not marry. How much of illegitimate children were born of those associations. So Sharia gave us a very balanced way of life, that there will be these desires. Therefore in the tafsir of that ayat of the Quran Sharif, in which Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. On the day of Qiyamah, the person's wealth, his children, nothing is going to be of any help to him. And this again has been explained many times, that those children who this person has given proper education, he has brought them up in the Islamic manner, he has given them the teachings of the Quran and the Sunnah, and then he made him whatever he made him. He could have become an engineer, a doctor, he could have become a scientist, he could have become anything else, but he was a Muslim first. So then these children, they will be of help and assistance to their parents by means of their du'as that they will make here, the good actions and deeds they will engage in, the sawab of that those parents will also get after their death. But we are talking about that wealth or those children which have been not, those children who haven't been given the upbringing according to Sharia, and that wealth which has been used in all kinds of haram places, or which was just hoarded, it's not going to be of any help to the person on the day of Qiyamah. إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. Except those people who bring a salim heart. Now the explanations and the meanings of that salim heart, different explanations have been given. But in Ruhul Ma'ani, of the 5 explanations that he gives, one of it is that أَلَّذِي يَكُونُ قَلْبُهُ خَالِيًا عَنْ غَلَوَةِ الشَّهَوَاتِ. That the person's heart is empty of the ghalba of shahwat. That the person's heart, there is shahwat, because the person is a human being, so there's going to be passions and desires. But it is, he does not become overwhelmed and overpowered by those passions. He does not become an animal, that he does not even differentiate after that. Who is his sister and who is aunt and who is mother. The person is conscious of the fact that he is a human being. He is a Muslim, he believes in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, is all seeing, all hearing, all knowing. So therefore, even if there are passions, but then he must not be overpowered by those passions. He will be dominant, he will control those passions. He will be the rider of that horse. He won't put the horse over his head and allow the horse to ride over him. So that is what it means. that here Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, He is the one who has created those passions so that there may be procreation. If there was no passion, there would have been no procreation. No children would have been born. Then life would have ended on earth. So it is Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's system which He describes in Surah Nisa also, and which you hear in the khutbah of Nikah, in which Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, خَلَقَكُم مِن نَفْسٍ وَاحِدًا, created you out of a single person. And then from that nafs wahid, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala created a mate and a spouse for Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, which is Hazrat Hawa. And from the both, just give you an explanation, from the both then many, many people spread into the world. Men and women, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala used the first couple, and from there it went on. Now all these Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says are ayat. In this verse of the Quran Sharif which I recited earlier on, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says that this is an ayat from the ayat of Allah, from the signs of Allah Ta'ala's qudrat and power. No one else could have done anything of this nature. It is only Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا. But then what did Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala say was the purpose of this spouse? And what was the purpose of this nikah? What was the purpose of this marriage? أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا, so that you may find sukoon in them, tranquility. Now what is this sukoon? Again, we have to look at the Quran Sharif and the Hadith Sharif, then we will get a full explanation of everything. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, what does He mention in the Quran Sharif about sukoon? هُوَ الَّذِي أَنزَلَ السَّكِينَةَ فِي قُلُوبِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ لِيَزْدَادُوا إِيمَانًا مَعَ إِيمَانِهِمْ. There's no time to go into detail, tafsir or anything of that nature, but we just take some hints that it is Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala who causes this sukoon to descend where? On the hearts of the believers. And if you have to look at that tafsir of that ayat, then it will open our eyes and hearts. So such realities which will baffle us, that when was it revealed? But in any case, for the purposes of this majlis, that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, He says in the Quran Sharif that He is the one, أَنزَلَ السَّكِينَةَ فِي قُلُوبِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And then what is this sakina? هِيَ نُورٌ يَسْتَقِرُّ فِي الْقَلْبِ. What is this sakina? It is a noor which settles on the heart of a person. When the heart of a person is in movement, after that when it comes to rest, then we say now that is sakina that has come onto the heart. And the explanation of that is given, that when this sakina descends on the heart, then the person enjoys a kind of tranquility which even the kings do not know of. شاہوں کے سروں پر تاج گرا سے درد سا اکثر رہتا ہے, شاہوں کے سروں پر تاج گرا سے درد سا اکثر رہتا ہے, اور اہل وفا کے سینوں میں ایک نور کا دریا بہتا ہے. The crowns on the heads of the kings, they give them a lot of pain and a headache. Look at the kings of the world today. Which king can say that he is enjoying peace and tranquility and happiness? Nothing but restlessness, anxieties, worries and problems. When they disobey Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala and get kingdom, then there's going to be restlessness. But if the king also in his palace is obedient to Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his kingdom, the person does not think that now I can do injustice, I can make zulm on anybody, I can oppress, I can tyrannize. The person uses that power, that authority that Allah Ta'ala has given to him for justice and for fair play and for distribution of the wealth to the poor and the needy and to take care of the needs of those who are in need. So then that person can be a king, but he can be a wali of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. But we are talking about those disobedient kings, he says their headaches they get because of those crowns. And the Allah walas, Allah Ta'ala gives them an ocean of noor in their hearts. So that comes because of that sakina that comes into the heart. So now this is that sakina and that sukoon that was supposed to be the result of nikah and marriage. That husband and wife, there was going to be sukoon. Mawaddatam wa rahma. Waja'ala bainahum mawaddatam wa rahma. And then there's muhabbat, mawaddat, and there's mercy. So if in a marriage there is no sukoon, there's no muhabbat and there's no rahmat, then that marriage is doomed, because the person hasn't obtained the objective of that marriage. So this is what Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says was the purpose of marriage. Now we have to look at our lives and the homes of so many of our Muslim brothers and sisters around the globe. We have nothing but problems. All the time we are dealing with cases of husband and wife disputes, arguments, fights, quarrels, because the wives have forgotten what the rights of the husbands are, and the husbands have forgotten what the rights of the wives are. Therefore, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also, he chose in the khutbah of Nikah these three ayat. And one of the ayat is this same one, in which Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ الَّذِي تَسَاءَلُونَ بِهِ وَالْأَرْحَامِ, meaning that the person must have the fear of that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala in whose name he is now asking for his rights. The person will ask for his rights. He will say, I am a husband and these are my rights. And the wife will say, I am a wife and these are my rights. So if we are asking for our rights in the name of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, then what about the rights of that same Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala? Therefore, Hazrat Shah Wasiullah Rahmatullah Alayhi said that any person who comes and complains about husband-wife problems, then definitely one of the two is not fulfilling the right of the other. And that's what I've mentioned many times. That anywhere that you will find arguments, fights, disputes and quarrels, then someone is not fulfilling the right of the other. If both parties have to go by the book of Ihsan, I always say, don't go by the book of rights. The book of rights are there. This is the problem that we call everyone in-law. Mother-in-law, father-in-law, brother-in-law. And therefore most of the things are going to the lawyers. Because we say law, law, law all the time, so it ends up with the lawyers. Islam has given us beautiful teachings. There must be muhabbat, there must be mawaddat, there must be rahmat. We must go by the book of Ihsan, that I must go the extra mile to see to it that I am giving my wife comfort, happiness within the parameters of Sharia. And even though it may not be her right, but because I am a husband, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has given me that authority. So therefore I will use it to make sure that my home is a home in which there is peace, happiness and comfort. And the wife also, she goes by the book of Ihsan, that he is my husband. We must not be going by now who must pay the bills. Even we get some kind of shocking questions also. The wife is very sick. The person is a rich person. And he says he read in some kitab that it is not the duty of the husband to pay for the medication of the wife. Now is that a husband? Now if the husband says that the wife is sick, so therefore first I must find out how much is it going to cost, the medication. Is it cheaper to give her the medication or cheaper to do the burial? So if the janazah is cheaper, then let her pass away. So will that be a husband? So we have to go by the book of Ihsan, that both parties have muhabbat, mawaddat, rahmat. If the person has compassion, love, kindness, and that is what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned in many of his ahadiths. And when people look at the sahaba ikram radiyallahu anhum ajmain, they were also human beings. And they also had arguments sometimes with their wives. Hazrat Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, read the incidents. But none of them violated the laws of Sharia, the Quran and Sunnah. So therefore there was extreme muhabbat. So we can have some kind of problem when two people are living together. How many a times we have twins? Now who are twins? Born of the same mother. Born of the same mother. Sometimes triplets. Now the father is one, the mother is one. And the mother carried those three children or babies in her stomach. They lived together. And sometimes they were even joined and they had to be separated by operations. But when they come out of the mother's stomach and they grow. Now when they grow, they both growing with their different temperaments and different mizaj and different nature. And how many times we find twins fighting and triplets fighting, having arguments. And yet they ate the same food, they drank the same water, they were nourished by the same mother, they drank the milk of the same mother, but yet they too have some kind of arguments and problems. So if triplets or twins of the same mother can have some kind of problems in their lives, Then here we are bringing total strangers. The wife sometimes is a total stranger, unknown to the husband. It's now that because there's so much of courting and so much of other kind of sins in vogue. Otherwise, look at the people in the past. They just went, they saw the woman, they liked her character, or because they found out from the people what she is doing and what is her character. But without, besides that, there was nothing. There were no telephones there, no cell phones or anything of that sort. And they married them, and they are living for 60 years, 70 years as husband and wife. So that is that muhabbat that we are talking about. So here these twins and triplets, they can have some kind of arguments. Here there are total strangers. Shariat brings them together with nakahtuha, qabiltuha. It is Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's ihsan and fazal upon us that He made this a way for us to relieve our passions and for procreation. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has got so much of hikmat and wisdom in this institution of nikah. And when people distance themselves from that and they think that in courting they will find some kind of pleasure and happiness, and they say we're getting to know, then years go by, they enjoy themselves. They seem to experience not many problems because they are in love. But the moment they make nikah, you find that after a few months, few days, the nikah has ended. So what happened? All these marriages which are ending around the globe, in Sweden they say 70% of the marriages end in court. So do we think that those 70% of the marriages that ending, those people did not know their wives? They lived with their wives for many, many years without even marrying them. Then why is it ending in the court? So without following Sharia and without remaining in the parameters of Sharia, there's going to be no happiness, no sukoon of any kind. So Allah Ta'ala has given us beautiful example, or Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has given us beautiful direction. Look at the kitabs of jurisprudence, look at the seerah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Look at his beautiful example. With a smile he's walking into the house, he's cheerful, he's got the burden of the world upon him, battles are taking place, Badr, Uhud and everything else. But look at his kindness, his compassion, his love, that not one wife has anything bad to say about Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. May Allah Ta'ala give me, give you and the Ummah the tawfiq of amal. May Allah bless these marriages and all those who are married with muhabbat, with compassion, with love, with rahmat. And may Allah Ta'ala keep them protected and all of us protected from the fitnas that are lashing at us around the world. May Allah Ta'ala remove the difficulties, the hardship, the pain, the suffering of mankind around the globe, and especially the Ummah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in different parts of the world.